Hello, this is the first in a series of podcasts in which I'm going to revisit the book I wrote some years ago, which was entitled What is Man? And that book is still available if you're interested. But I'm particularly bringing it forward at this time because the British publisher Banner of Truth are holding their annual conference this month, and they are using the title of my book as their theme. Now, that may be intentional or accidental, I don't know. But either way, I thought it was a good time to remind people of the existence of the book, which is some years old now, but still highly relevant and important, I believe, as the choice of subject for the conference clearly indicates. So over a period of several weeks, I'm going to read the opening chapter of that book, which is in fact a kind of survey of the whole book, an introduction, if you like, to the whole book. So chapter one, an overview. What is man? The poet Alexander Pope proposed that man is, quotes, the glory, jest, and riddle of the world. But that's a restatement of the question rather than an answer to it. The purpose of this book is to find answers. And in this opening chapter, we are going to review the main theories popular today about the origin and nature of mankind. We'll see that these ideas fall into four main categories. Man is either 1, a superior ape, 2, an evolved animal embellished with an emergent spirit, 3, an evolved animal endowed with a divine image, or 4, an unevolved special creation made by God in his own spiritual likeness. What evidence exists for each of these options, and are they mutually exclusive? Although the whole book is devoted to resolving these issues, this chapter provides an overview of the subject before we plunge into the deeper waters and consider how we relate as human beings to the cosmos, the biosphere, and how we relate to the Bible. Be prepared to smile, frown, and ponder. So we begin chapter one, which is entitled, Who Do You Think You Are? What is Man? A Summary. And the chapter heading quote is from Psalm 8 and verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? What is man? The subtitle of this book offers three options: Adam, alien, or ape. By Adam, I mean the biblical view that human beings are made in the image of God. I use alien to reflect the popular idea that humanity is not the only intelligent life form in the cosmos, and may even have arrived on Earth from somewhere else. By ape, I mean the common belief that you and I are simply superior simians. Let's start by making clear what we mean by man. The word is used in three ways. It can mean a male member of the human race. Man equals male. It can mean the human race itself. Man equals humanity. And it can mean a member of the human race regardless of gender. Man equals person. A manhole can be used by a woman as well as a man, and a man-eating tiger isn't bothered about the sex of its victim. This third use of man is today often considered politically incorrect, and I apologize in advance to anyone who is offended by it. But in writing this book, I found it unavoidable for two reasons. Firstly, there is no alternative when discussing the essence of the human condition. To give just one example, the phrase, the spirit of man, cannot be replaced by the spirit of humanity, because humanity is a collective noun, and its use would change the meaning. Secondly, this third use of man is common historically, and without it, I could neither quote the Bible accurately nor offer you the wisdom of Alexander Pope's poem, "The Proper Study of Mankind is Man," cited below. In this book, therefore, I shall make use of all three meanings of the word man, but I trust that the context will always make it clear which is intended. For clarity, I will capitalize the first letter to read capital M-A-N whenever the reference is to humanity as a whole. Writing in 1734, the poet Alexander Pope described the contradictions of human nature with eloquent clarity. Man is, he writes, in doubt to deem himself a god or beast, in doubt his mind or body to prefer, born but to die, and reasoning but to err, alike in ignorance, his reason such, whether he thinks too little or too much. Chaos of thought and passion all confused, still by himself abused or disabused, created half to rise and half to fall, great lord of all things, yet a prey to all, sole judge of truth, in endless error hurled, the glory, jest and riddle of the world. The depressing fact is that everything Alexander Pope said nearly 300 years ago is still true. As a race, we continue to notch up amazing achievements in the arts, science and technology, counterbalanced by uncertainty about what it means to be human and apprehension about where mankind is heading. To an impassioned observer, we are indeed the glory, jest, and riddle of the world. Whether we accept it or not, the Bible has a clear explanation for this state of affairs, this confusion and inconsistency. Made in the image of God, man retains a nobility of nature and purpose that leads to great achievements. But as a race in rebellion against its creator, we can and frequently do plumb the depths of wickedness and depravity. This book contends that we can never really understand ourselves, our triumphs and our failures, without this biblical perspective on human sin and our need of redemption. Subheading, Digging Up Roots. British TV presenter Natasha Kaplinsky went to Cape Town, celebrity chef Rick Stein to China, and actress Zoe Wanamaker to Ukraine. What were they looking for? The answer is their roots. The long-running British TV series Who Do You Think You Are? Helps various celebrities construct their family trees, discovering secrets and surprises from the past, along with the skeletons lurking in their ancestral cupboards. Most people are intrigued by their own ancestry. When Alex Haley's book Roots was published in the USA in 1976, it became a sensational bestseller. More than a mere book, it tapped deeply into the hunger of Black Americans to know more about their African ancestral home. According to commentators, Haley's quest for his roots changed the way Black people thought about themselves and how white America viewed them. Why? Because our origins ultimately determine who and what we are. But no amount of world travel or searching dusty archives will reveal what really ought to excite our curiosity, the origin of humanity itself. The question, who am I, can only be truly answered when we know the solution to the larger riddle, what is man? When a young child asks, where did I come from? The child isn't asking for lessons in reproductive biology. Rather, the question relates to self-consciousness, the child's awareness of his or her own individual selfhood. Neither chickens nor chimpanzees, I suspect, worry much about such things. These concerns are unique to man. And that is nothing new. Addressing the biblical God some 3,000 years ago, King David put it thus, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor." Psalm 8, verses 3 to 4. Subheading, David or Darwin. There are, of course, some zany answers to the question, what is man? The famous physicist Enrico Fermi seriously discussed the idea that we might be an alien race that colonized the Earth from space. A more philosophical but equally strange idea is that we are computer-generated simulations, the product of a matrix set up by powers beyond our comprehension for their own entertainment. I let James Berardinelli tell the story. Thomas Anderson is leading a double life. To most people, he's a hard-working computer programmer who holds down a 9-to-5 job for a major software corporation. But in the privacy of his home, he's a hacker named Neo. Neo is dissatisfied with his existence. And while he's groping for a meaning to it, he is contacted by a mysterious computer presence known as Morpheus, who explains that the reality he is used to is a fabrication, the product of a sinister race of intelligent machines that use human beings as power supplies to be discarded at will. Bizarre though they may be, such speculations are not easy to refute. But I will pass them by and move on to what most people would consider more solid ground. Today we are presented with several plausible answers to the question, what is man? Answers typified by two extremes, by David in his psalm and Charles Darwin in his theory of evolution or common descent, insofar as it seeks to explain the origin of man without reference to God. However, there are other alternatives that lie between these extremes. So in this chapter, we shall briefly introduce not two, but four models of man, using image terminology throughout for the sake of consistency. These four views see mankind as being made respectively in one, the image of the apes, two, the image of an emergent spirit, three, the image of an implanted spirit, or four, the image of God. I use the word spirit here simply as a shorthand to describe the qualities of mind and self-awareness that separate man completely from even the most intelligent animals. Well, there we'll leave our first attempt to present this book to you, and in the next episode we shall look at man viewed as made in the image of the apes.